super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Okay, well, tonight, it's actually one day after Horror Hound opened. I heard it was a horrible debacle down there already in Cincinnati. And, you know, we're 2 weeks ahead of Wasteland. But right after Wasteland, there's this great little event up in Canada called Shockstock. And we have one of the co-founders, co-conspirators, and all-around scumbag, Jake Grimbrother, right here with us. So, hi, Jake. Welcome to the Grindhouse.
Hey, thanks for having me on here. It's good to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. You guys got a nice little thing going on up there. I guess it's the week after Wasteland, I guess. What is it, second week in April?
Second week in April, yeah, the 12th to 14th. I guess probably about 80 minutes from the border from above Flint. So we're pretty close by to the States, and we try to put on a show that cares about fans and doesn't fucking bend people over and fuck them in the ass or anything like that. We just keep it real.
Yeah, a lot of that going on. Yeah. I don't know if you heard anything about the Horror Hound in Cincinnati. I got a couple emails about how fucking unorganized and crazy it is, and they're spilling out in the streets and shit.
No, that's a shame, man. I don't know if they treat people like that. They call them, you know, they try to cater to a fan and give them a fan experience, but I mean, you know, I've had nicer experiences at getting a rectal exam, if you ask me.
Yeah, I know. They seem to be the convention. Hey, you know, you pay your money, we will stick a big cock up your ass and twist it, you know?
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to use a little Vaseline if they're going to be checking up there. That's going dry ain't too fun.
Yeah, I know. You got a couple ones going on up there. Somebody told me, I don't know if this is true, that there's going to be the Christine car is in Toronto or something.
Oh, don't even get started. There's some fucking upstarts. These guys, there's a guy in Toronto. He's fucking so far in left field, he doesn't know what he's doing about. All he cares about is the big sack of money and hitting the road. He doesn't give a fuck about the fans. And, you know, Christine Carr or no Christine Carr, this guy just, he's full of lies, man. And that's what I don't get is that there's such a dishonesty amongst all these conventions going on, and nobody is uniting anymore. I mean, like it's supposed to be a network. It's supposed to be a family event, you know? I mean, and I don't mean like, you know, bring your kids and get your face painted. I'm talking about, you know,
it's more like the Manson family event.
The Manson, you know? Family, yeah. That's right, yeah. You know? I mean, like Cinema Wasteland. It's like, yeah. You know, people look forward to it. People go, and I mean, like, you know, James and myself have been going for the last couple of years, and it's an event that people look forward to. I don't understand how people take part in these things. I mean, like, it's unfathomable. These fucking retards that are going to these events, paying all this money, for what? To have some, you know, miserable celebrity that don't even want to be there because they see right through it as well, but they just don't deny the big fat paycheck that they're getting handed, and they're going to put the cigarette on any tongue, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. I mean, you know, people ask me, well, you know, you don't go to any other conventions other than Wasteland and the one in Pittsburgh Horror Room, which I was at last weekend, which is, you know, a good little show. Why would I bother? Why do I want to be, the, you know, the small fish in the big fucking pond, you know? They don't give a fuck about
it. It's not even a big pond. It's a big sewage dump is what it is.
Yeah, well, they don't give a fuck about what I do, what guys like Ted Michaels and Gary Kent do and shit like that. It's all about the flavor today. You know, that's why I'm bringing, you know, I'm sure you've seen my post that Merle Dixon's severed right hand will be with me at Wasteland. He was a big hit at Horror Realm.
Oh, good.
He'll be with me at Wasteland. If you want, you know, sure, he'd be agreeable to go up, you know, back home with you guys to Canada and put in a one-shot appearance, you know, up by you, and you could probably mail him back in a plain brown box to me. You know, he's good like that. So
that's good. Yeah, and I mean, how much does it cost to get him to stick one of the fingers up your ass and take a photo?
Oh, well, I had a whole repertoire. Like to shake his hand is $5. His signature is $10. Prostate exam is $40 with latex glove is $50. And if you want to be fisted, we'll pay you. So it's all good. It's all good.
That's not too bad, then. I mean,
yeah. And of course, the hand jobs all day are $30. You know, no problem there. So
yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I just did something fucked up. I actually posted on Craigslist, being that this Sunday's Palm Sunday. I go, any hot chicks want to come over and give me a hand job for Palm Sunday? I actually got one response that went back and forth, but then I guess she figured out, yeah, this guy's fucked up. So, but I find humor in everything, especially you know, that collection you guys put out, Color Correct My Cock. You know, I stand by the quote. Did you guys repackage that and put that quote on the box or something?
Sorry, what was that?
Did you repackage that DVD and put my quote on the box or something?
We are working on doing a special scumbag edition. That we've got even more shit that we want to cram on it. And yeah, we were going to put the quote on the box, and because I mean, it was, you know, we respect your opinion, and fuck, if you know, if it gets your seal approval, it's got to be one for the record books.
No, it's good. I mean, you know. You know, for a while, everybody was kicking out these trailer collections, and, you know, most of it was repetitious fucking bullshit, you know, with all the classics. I mean, you know, the first one was Mad Ron. He was like, you know, the first and foremost. But, you know, since then, you've had a bunch of, you know, real shit come out. But you guys just covered the whole fucking grindhouse, from fucking spaghetti westerns to kung fu to biker to horror, and those great porn film fucking trailers in there in the middle of everything, when you're just about, oh yeah, that was holy shit, you know, that's fucking great shit. That's fucking grindhouse to me.
Don't forget the grapes too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's actually one of my favorites. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that's the way we want to do it. We're not going to try to, you know, categorize it and alphabetize it and do all that other shit, because that's not the grindhouse, man. The grindhouse, you never knew what you were going to be seeing, you know. The same when we put on theatrical shows. Like, you know, we played a print one time that I can't even remember. I think I was drunk and I lost one of the reels, so we just, you know, that's when we just said, fuck it, we'll just put something else in the middle, and that was when Biggie made its big debut on the big screen, right in the middle of Blackenstein, I think, and people went ape shit, you know.
Yeah, shit happens. One time they were running Demons down in this fucking really shithole theater in Jersey, and they were running real 2 and 3 interspersed, and nobody picked up on it. That's how fucked up they were. So
who needs to really pay attention when the show, you know what I mean? Like the movies are obviously near and dear to our hearts, but I mean the experience is something to be experienced as well. Like, you got to put the whole package together.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm sitting back, I'm watching this, I'm going, you know, this is fucking great. You didn't get a commercial release on this thing, did you?
Well, you know what, though, but that's not, you know, we're not looking for a commercial release. We want to keep it in the underground. We want to keep it going through the hands of like-minded individuals, and, you know, it's not really our, you know, all that, and I don't think anybody would touch with all that dirty porn and all that greasy stuff in it, but I mean, We've been real busy since. We've been picking. We went down to this porn theater in Toronto, and we hornswoggled him, and he let us in the basement. We were perusing through his collection. He had probably about, I don't know, 500 or 600 35mm porn prints, and we got our hands on some stuff that hopefully we're going to be able to, you know, I wouldn't say clean up probably, but we're just going to, you know, do the same thing. We want to put out future releases, even if we do put out re-releasing any features. We don't want to alter them in any way, and we definitely want to keep the grindhouse experience as part of it. So.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. That's why a lot of the stuff that, you know, I've put out, it's like, you know, bring the color up a little bit just so you can see, because, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people, and even unbeknownst to me, because I just started, you know, picking up films big time, because Ken and I are going to be running, like, try to roadshow some stuff, that eventually over time these fuckers do turn red, unfortunately, and there's a way to retard it. We got to buy some chemicals and treat our stuff, but, you know, you try to bring it up as best as you can, but you want to leave the lines and the burns and splices in there, because that's the way the fuckers work, you know.
That's right. Stinky and Pinky, that's what we call them.
Yeah. So you're gonna add more to the original version of this.
The Scumbag Edition, we're not sure if we're going to be having more trailers, but we definitely have more content. Just we have tons and tons and tons of archive footage of when we did do our theatrical run with 35mm screenings. You know, some footage that would be just bootlegged out of the theater. We have a full audio track, I believe, of the audience watching color correct my cock on 35mm in the Vagrancy Grindhouse, which is the greasiest group of individuals you can watch a movie with, and they go hog wild through the whole thing, and you get to be, you know, ride along with that. That's going to be something exciting. And then there's another short film that James and I did called Tales from the Pussy Pound that we're going to put on there, which is, you know, Rocco's debut. Rocco was at the beginning of the Color Correct My Cock, bringing in those women.
Who's Rocco?
Rocco's an international superstar. We control you know, his appearances and his jobs in front of the camera, and he's the master of control, and he's the star of the Pussy Pound, and he's going to star in some other things in the future. He's also the official party host of Shockstock, so when you come to Shockstock, you say hello to Rocco, and he'll probably push some booze in your face at the same time.
Sounds like fun. Who you got up at Shockstock this year?
Well, we got Christina Lindbergh's going to be coming for the weekend. We're going to be doing a nice career retrospect for her on the Saturday night. A lot of people just in the business, and I guess in out of the business, just talking about, you know, how influential she's been on the in both the exploitation world and just the world of cinema in general. You know, if you want to go into more cult film stuff, we've got Patricia Quinn from Rocky Horror Picture Show is going to be there. We got Robert Zadar coming. He's always a good time. Jarrett Graham from Phantom of the Paradise will be there. A couple of guys from Night of the Living Dead. And a shitload of other guests, too. We got guys like Tommy Pistol, the Triple X star, is trying to make a name for himself in the horror realm. He's going to be there. And Wasteland regular Angelina Lee, she's going to be there too. She's a party girl. She's going to be hanging out with us for the weekend and even more. So,
yeah, Joel Reed too, right?
Sorry?
Joel Reed's coming, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Joel Reed's going to be there too. Yeah, yeah. He's hitched a ride with her, I think. So those two will get acquainted, and he's going to come down. He's got some stories to tell, and I think
let me tell you something. You can't shut his ass up. He'll probably tell you. We were at the Pioneer that I almost got arrested, and it's not the whole story. And he kept rattling on and on and on, something about he fucked Marilyn Monroe or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's my cue to get the fuck out of here. So
yeah.
He just keeps coming up. Were you sitting in on that blood-sucking freaks thing when Jamie Gillis told him to shut the fuck up?
No, I missed that one. That's good.
No, it was good. They were doing Ken, Art, and Joel were doing live commentary over Bloodsucking Freaks, and Jamie didn't know they were supposed to talk, and he's like sitting in front of him, and Joel kept going on and on, and he turns around and goes, "Will you shut the fuck up? I'm trying to watch this."
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, these are the kind of guys we want up there. We want people that are going to, you know, be there to share the real, you know, cinema, the real experiences of cinema. None of this Hollywood bullshit, none of this fan experience stuff. It's going to be, you dive right in, and you know, these guys love it. These people, the other thing too is that it's a different caliber of guests in the sense that they appreciate their fans too, right?
Yeah, you know who you should grab. See how, if you like what I do with them, Gary Kent. He's going to be up at Wasteland first time. You know, he's been there before, but every time I've had him on the radio and like the stories he comes out with, and then if you read his book, you get what I'm talking about. He's got some great stories.
Yeah.
Really good stories.
So. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, Wasteland has got a great lineup this year, too. I'm excited just to go down and be in the midst of it. It's, you know,
yeah, it's going to be cool. Yeah, we got a bunch of 16 stuff we're showing, too. Actually, I've been picking stuff up. We're going to be running Beyond the Law with Lee Van Cleef, Little Cigar Mob. That's a rare one. I lucked into that.
Yeah,
with a bunch of midgets and Angel Tompkins. It's a lot better than it sounds, trust me. It's pretty nuts.
We played this, I got this kids movie from France about a talking duck called The Secret of Magic Island, and it turned out to be the most bizarre and fucked up thing we played all weekend last year. And that was our kids matinee on Sunday morning, but we ended up, we played it back-to-back with Beelzebub's,
Dick Farman Hole or whatever.
Yeah, Dick Farman. Yeah,
we ended up playing
back to back for the kids. So,
yeah, that's one thing. You know, both conventions do is they show some fucked up shit with these other conventions. Oh, well, we're going to have a little panel with Norman Reedus, and if you're lucky, the first girl in the front row will get to let him eat your pussy, you know? It's good. So.
Yeah, that's right, and then everybody else can watch on the Skype.
Yeah, really, and pay $160 or whatever the fuck was going on with that. God, they're milking his ass to death. I'm telling you.
Well, I hope he likes it. He's getting a nice treatment for now, but I mean, once they've used him up, he'll be...
Well, there's a rumor floating around that he's getting a little bit something about he's getting film offers and he can't take them because he's stuck on this fucking convention thing, and something about, you know, he may be wanting to get out of it.
So. Yeah, well, I believe it. I mean, like, these guys are, they're leeches on both ends of it. How they want to take and but you know what I mean. They don't want them to give. They don't want, you know, they don't want. Even the celebrities to give anything. They're going to use them and abuse them as much as they do the fans. And it's unfortunate because they fill their heads with all this, you know, these delusions that they're being loved and they're being respected, but it's not. They're being whored out.
Yeah, well, I was on drunk as usual on a Saturday night, that, you know, Dust Till Con radio show, and I said it's the classic pimp whore John thing. The guest rep is the pimp, the celebrity's the whore, and the fan's the John. That's
right.
What it comes down to. I mean, that's what it is. You know, there's no bones about it. That's what it is with these people. And, you know, unfortunately, there's some, you know, very decent people that are wrapped up in this. And, you know, a lot of them smartened up and got away from certain people. I'm not going to mention their names on the show because we go on little fucking tirades and shit with them. And I'm just sick. You know what it is? I think the more attention you pay to these guys, the more wanted they feel, that the more important they feel that I'm talking about them. So, in this case, I'm not going to talk about any of them because their fucking show is imploding right in your fucking face as we speak. So,
yeah.
Well, you know what it is? They all wanted to be Chiller Theater in its heyday. In its heyday, Chiller Theater had 10,000 fucking people through the door in a weekend. Maybe 12. Never any more than that. Because somebody made this bold statement, it was 25,000. It was fucking bullshit. That's the Bulls Giant Stadium. And we weren't professional, but we were, you know, we had been there from the beginning. We certainly knew how to handle shit because nothing ever fucking happened. From the complaints I'm seeing on the message boards, don't look like too much of their staff is professional at all. So nobody has any answers.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. It's never their fault. But unfortunately, that puts a bad taste in everybody's mouth as far as these things go. But, you know, like I'm saying, A lot of these people that are going to them, they're strictly going for The Walking Dead, and that ain't it. They're not really true fans. It's the flavor of the month, and, you know, these chicks are just getting wet and drippy over Norman Reedus. That's what it is.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. My kid's daycare worker's, you know, excited about Norman Reedus. Not my, you know, not anybody who's actually a horror fan, you know. They just want, you know, they should get fucking, I don't understand why they don't do any more of these porn conventions in these small towns and get these women really hot and bothered, and they can just go fucking suck a cock right away, you know?
Yeah. But, I don't know. It's pretty fucked up. I thought of a marketing gimmick that would make me millions of dollars, but I'd probably get sued. If you could somehow silkscreen Norman Reedus' face on a pair of panties, you'd sell thousands of them. Probably sell millions of them, you know?
Yeah, probably.
Put it on the front, or if you could put it on the back, or put it on the inside in the front with a little beard stubble to tickle them, you know?
So,
I think that would sell big at conventions. You know, he could sign them, you know, the chicks could wear them and pull them off right in front of him and shit. What the hell? He probably is a good guy. I think he's just getting sucked into all this thing, because like I said, you know, it's hot now, and, you know, I think I said this last week. No, I had Jack last week. It was the week before that I went off on the whole fucking thing. It says, you know, when this show gets cold, they're just going to fucking pull the plug. They're just going to end it. That's what's going to happen. That's network corporate TV for you, boys and girls. They did it with fucking Deadwood. They've done it with a lot of series. You know, they're leading up to something all of a sudden. Well, gee, we don't think it's fucking advantageous for us to air this anymore. So guess what? You're all out of work, and, you know, we're not going to wrap it up. Goodbye. That's it.
Yeah, and then fucking, yeah, good, but goodbye, fucking too bad, so sad, you know, and it really isn't going to bother, you know, it isn't going to bother the majority of them because they're already, you know, they're already watching. But for a guy like Reedus, who, you know, had some promise and had a film career and stuff, you know, they're going to look at him and say, you know, you've done yourself wrong, and you put yourself in the television and turn yourself into another, Sulu or something. You know, you're going to be stuck doing these conventions the rest of your life, and this is your new livelihood. Welcome to it.
Yeah. Which pretty much, you know, it's sad, but, you know, I know a lot of guys, and I know a lot of guys, they gotta do this shit to keep solvent, because the fucking, you know, cheap-ass B-movies they're making now don't pay shit, so a lot of guys that thought they were going through a resurgence, you know, unfortunately they're not, and that's why they gotta do these things, but at least they're, you know, amicable and, you know, fan-friendly and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's true. At least they show the respect back to the fans, and you know, it, that's what's you know, keeping the fans still loving them too. Because I mean, there are some people, and again, you know, we don't want to name names or anything like that, but there are people that have done the convention circuit, have not been grateful to the fans for it, and now you see them, you know, that people are shitting on them even at the big cons. You know, they stick them in a corner and they get ignored.
Yeah, well. Like I always said, you know, we're the ones that brought you to the dance. You know, you may be talented and all that other good stuff, but if we didn't buy the tickets and buy your merchandise and shit, where would you be? So,
that's right.
You know, it was sad going back years ago. I remember the guy who used to play the kid on the Rifleman, Johnny Crawford, just showed up at Chiller because he'd been sleeping on somebody's couch, and you know, he asked if he could just come in and sign autographs. I said, yeah, sure. What the fuck, you know? It's sad. Oh, what, you know? It's sad. You know, a lot of, you know what it is, and you know. Everybody gets sucked into this whole show business thing, and I got sucked into it once already, but, you know, if you grow up in front of a camera, like you take the Little Rascals, any of these child stars and shit, when they turn it off and you got nothing, you don't know anything else, you're fucked, you know?
That's right, yeah.
Some guys got smart, but a lot of guys just couldn't fucking, you know, couldn't handle that they're not in the spotlight anymore. So.
Yeah, it's sad, and then it gets, like, again, and then they're going to turn around and, you know, who's to blame for the whole thing, right? The same people that are pushing you back into these tables to sign autographs for $20.
Yeah, well, you know what the big difference is then and now is, like, because I was, you know, going back with Chiller when it was Horrorthon and shit, and that was one of, you know, wasn't the first one, but it was like the first one to, like, bring back people that, you know, got lost in the shuffle and shit, and, you know, they were genuinely grateful for being rediscovered. I remember H.G. Lewis, you know, because nobody had ever, you know, you think, you know, famous monsters or anything, they wouldn't do nothing with The Godfather or Gore. We were the first ones that brought him back, and he was like, you know, people really like this shit, and then we brought, you know, Friedman through Something Weird, and, yeah. You know, they were just amazed that people were into this shit, and you were really happy to do it. Herschel's one of those guys, he will not fucking charge the fans. It's like, I want to be paid by the promoter, and that's it. I signed for nothing.
Yeah.
He was one of the few guys that do that. So.
Yeah, there are still great guys out there that do it. I mean, again, it's 100% true. People are, you know, supporting these guys and have supported these guys throughout the years as well, you know, through the releases, through the video boom and everything like that. It has kept them relevant and kept them loved. And new generations, you know, 20-year-old kids that are picking up DVDs of Wizard of Gore because he's still, you know, spoken of and still, you know, people still show him love, and it's going to continue on. And that's, you know, that's the kind of like the spark of light that keeps us doing these shows too, you know. It's because there is people out there that care.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, I haven't been up by you yet, but I guess you're attracting the same kind of people that, you know, go to Wasteland, you know, the diehards that, you know, really appreciate what it is and actually want to learn something about it, as opposed to like, oh my God, look at this fucking picture, I spent $500 up there. What was the one at Montreal with the whole cast of Star Trek? Will Bukkake you for $1,000 or something?
Yeah, that was the last one, the Toronto Comic Con, and it was about $1,000, and they had eight of them there, and they just, you know, whatever, you throw the money at them, you don't, and then they rake you over the coals, and that's it. And I mean, we've heard too, I mean, like, from doing these shows, we have promoted, like, some celebrities that talk about these shows like they're so organized and they're so great. Oh, you know, we don't even see any money. We just get a nice big check at the end, and the fans are all happy. And you go, you don't realize like how much they're taking from these people. You don't, you know, they keep it away from them as well. A lot of them, a lot of these managers or fanagers, they like to call them, are just fucking. They're taking for themselves. You know what I mean? Like they, you can't. they're not respecting anyone. They're not respecting the people that are buying the tickets, and they're not respecting their own clients by, you know, by keeping them in the dark and turning them around, pushing them away, you know?
Yeah, I know. See, I worked with Sid, you know, once up at Rockin' Shock, and basically he controls his own money, which is a smart thing to do. I think he made a mistake and went with somebody, and like it fucked up everything for a while, and then now he's not with anybody. He just books himself out, which is a smart way to do it, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of these guys will do it too. A lot of these guys, you know, they'd rather go without a manager, because again, like these guys, and a lot of them, I mean, I'm not saying specific people, because there are a few guys out there that are, you know, that are have it in the best interest of the celebrities, but a lot of these guys just want in for themselves, right? Like they'd rather just be a manager to say, you know, to for the status, if they believe that there's status to it.
No, you know what it is? I've seen this. This is like a new phenomenon that just started like maybe 10 years ago, where basically these guys are just approaching some of these, you know, I'm going to say, for lack of better words, out-of-touch celebrities, and saying, look, I can cut you these deals, do this and do that. What they're also doing is, well, I need to be flown out with them. I need to be put up. I need to be fed. And it's like, no, you don't. You're not fucking important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have fights with these fuckers all the time, and I don't even know why I get involved with this shit, because it's fucking, it's like, you know, the Special Olympics, you know who's going to win is going to be a retard.
But yeah.
Some of these guys just pissed me off to the point. One guy was saying, well, you know, the promoter has to make money because this and that. And I says, you know, I'm not disputing that the promoter doesn't have to make money. He has to make money, but he doesn't have to gouge. And this little sucky ass is there going, oh, well, Monster Mania. I said, you know, it's all about money with him. I says, these fuckers all start out as fans, and then when they see the dollar signs and the photo op opportunities and this shit and that shit, it's a business. It's, you know, it's either you're a fan or you're in the business. They're in the business, you know.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, I'm a fan, you know. And the killing part was with me. I got sucked into the business. I was just a fan. Just the whole weird chain of events happened. Now I'm in the business, but I'm still the fan, and I try to protect the business, you know.
Yeah, no, and you're right. Yeah, same with us. I mean, we're first and foremost we're fans, and I'd say that, you know, because we'd love to say it's a business, but you know, to be a successful business, you have to, you know, there has to be some revenue generated, but whatever we make off of these shows, we just put right back into them. We just want to keep it alive and keep it going, because it's more about, you know, having something. And I mean, because up north of the border here, nobody wants to do a show like for the fans. You know, it's all this corporate shit, and we don't, you know, we're sick of it. We don't want to fucking deal with that. So we said, fuck it, we're going to do our own thing. And the same went with Color Correct My Cock. We just said we want to do it ourselves, and we fucking did it. It cost us money, and in the long run, you know, if it was just James and myself watching that thing, we would have probably been happy. But, you know, it's great that people are experiencing it with us, because it's good to know that there's like-minded individuals in the world, man.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing good about yours and Wasteland and Horror Realm and, you know, Monster Bash, if you're into the classic things, where they you know, they stick to their roots, and it's like, we're not going to bring in the big star because we don't need to, you know? Because, you know, Wasteland's going to draw what it draws, you know?
Right.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and again, I mean, not to say we aren't, well, we're bringing in some big stars, too. I forgot to mention, we also have a girl coming in, Naomi Grossman. She was in the American Horror Story. She played Pepper the Pinhead. And James had approached her. She had never been approached to do a convention before. And the whole idea is new to her. So she's coming up with us. It's going to be her first show. And now, since she's booked with us, she's been booked at a few other conventions down in the States. But we were like, this is great, because we can show her and give her an opportunity to experience what an actual fan convention is like, you know, and maybe we'll have a chance to, you know, to open her eyes and show her that it is about having a good time, and it's about having a party, and it's not about putting a wall between yourself and the fans. And we're hoping, you know, it can maybe bridge the gap, too, you know, like we want to expose more people that a horror convention doesn't have to be a gouge, and it doesn't have to be a lineup, and it doesn't have to, you know, bend you over and fuck you in the ass for a $75 photo op, and, you know, it's all bullshit, you know. They you can still come, you can still go, they can still make a good chunk of change. They're not going to fucking go home broke, and they have a great time. That's what we want to do, and that's what, you know, that's why we go to the choice shows that we go to in the States, too, is because we want to go and have a good time and enjoy ourselves, and that's all it's about, man.
Yeah, you guys also, were you behind that whole, Dear God, No? Was that you too? I know James.
Those guys are buddies of ours. They came down, I guess it was last October, but I guess the April before that, I think, is when they came down. And they just came down to be at the table because, yeah, they've been buddies with us, and we kept in touch and kind of, caught wind of the show when they were, before they started their big release, and we said, "Man, this is something that you guys gotta come to Wasteland. You gotta experience, this stuff too." And they're fucking wild guys, man. Those guys are out of control. But
yeah, the whole thing went over huge, I heard.
Yeah,
I don't know where the fuck I was, but I can't go to a lot of those screenings because if I sit down, I'll fucking nod out. I gotta keep fucking moving. Plus, I watch movies all the time anyway, so half the shit we're showing on 16's mine anyhow. So, but. Yeah, I took a copy home and watched it. That was pretty fucked up.
Yeah, it was great. It was.
The only thing you didn't have was a spaghetti western, or was something else missing. We were trying to think what was missing. You didn't have any spaghetti western nods in that one.
No, there wasn't. Yeah, there wasn't any spaghetti.
You had, or blaxploitation. Was blaxploitation in there? Maybe it was the other one. You didn't have any blaxploitation nod.
There's no blood. No, I don't think it was blaxploitation, but it was definitely. It was
a little bit of everything.
A little bit. Yeah, it was great. Southern biker flick that just hit it out of the park, and again, it's one of those things that just, people that are like-minded and people that get the underground, I guess you would have to call it now. And I don't know, fucking, it used to be fucking the mainstream for me when I was picking tapes off the video rental shelf and bringing them home. Again, it's the whole thing. Isn't that what horror movies were about? Is getting together and having a good time watching them? Like,
yeah, pretty much. Just to go, I always had somebody I palled around with that we go to the grindhouses with, or somebody had run into a fucking bar, or some hooker or something like that. You always sit and watch a movie with at a grindhouse. So yeah, it's best to be enjoyed. It was never meant to be adversarial like it is now with some of these fucking people.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We had a screening we did in Toronto. We actually the same porn theater where we did that big 35mm pick. We rented that theater out, and I think we may have played one of the last 35mm prints in there. We played an uncut print of City of the Living Dead, and the guy was pouring Lysol in between the aisles because it reeked of cum. And our good buddy Cliff was right at the front. He had some girl he found. We don't know where he came from, and he was smoking a cigar and drinking a bottle of Jager and loud as fuck. And people are going, what's with this guy? And he got up and he, put his cigar out on a guy's leg and he slapped this woman, and it was like unbelievable. But at the end of the night, the guy came up and he was like, "I can't believe it. It was the greatest moment of my life." Because he enjoyed the experience, enjoyed the movie, and like everybody had fun, and that was great. That was it. Nobody was trying to outshow someone. It wasn't about a status thing. It was just about people getting together and having a good time, and that's. It's all it should be. All that life's about, man. In fact, fucking having fun before you die. That's it.
Oh yeah, yeah. We were even thinking that, down the road, maybe doing something around here would make maybe actually doing a storefront theater. But you'd have to probably call it a movie club or something because you'd get fucked for charging people to come in and stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
But it is. I don't know what Ken's thinking too, but a lot of us are just getting tired of the same old fucking bullshit. And the good shows dry up, and you got these mega shows where it's fucking guest only and shit. So sometimes you got to start thinking past that. I never made my living doing these shows anyway. I always did something else. So really, I hate being stuck behind a fucking table, but hopefully this is going to be, the end of that for one last shot on DVDs. Then I'm working on a magazine, so I'll be putting that out.
But, well, that'd be great.
We should have it at Wasteland. It's going to be 100 issues because remember Andy Kopp, passed away. So it was sort of he was on this, if I was going to do it, and I kept kicking it back and forth, and then I just said, I'll just do one in his memory. And a bunch of people said, oh, yeah, well, we'll all, jump in. And then, how that goes. Usually they don't, but this time they did. So it's over 60 pages.
Wow.
So I'm doing a 100 copy run and have it at Wasteland and see what happens. But Mike Watt's doing the editing. He thinks it's got legs. So we'll see. Well,
I imagine it will. I mean, it could be the way, a Wasteland annual or something. It would be, it'd be great. Again, it's the whole thing is where you have a target crowd for it there. Everybody loves it, and big respect for Andy too, and that's important for people too.
Yeah, plus I like to write, so, you know, a lot of it's my stuff in there, because, like I said, I didn't know who was going to do what, and I figured I was going to be like a combination of Screw and the Gore Gazette, maybe 25 pages, 20 pages or something, but, you know, if it worked out, Mike's going to put it up on, after Wasteland, put it up on print on demand on Amazon, so, hey, if it works, I'll do a couple a year, what the hell, you know, go quarterly, what the fuck, you know, like the old Monster magazines used to go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it ain't like I'm using, it ain't like I'm giving anybody current information, you know. I don't got to be right out there, you know. It's going to be old school shit, you know.
That's right, yeah. And again, it's the whole thing where you don't need to oversaturate it and kill it so fast. That's what they're doing with all these other, you know, a lot of these other magazines and stuff. They're trying to go harder than the other guy, and they're burning themselves out.
Yeah, no, I got, you know, considering what happened, and most of the guys that, you know, wrote stuff, you know, one guy did something on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Jason Martinko threw some shit in from his book, Anthony Matthews about, you know, making that Revenge is her middle name thing, so,
yep.
You got some good shit in there, so, see how it flies, you know, I'll knock out a couple more. It's, you know, like I said, I like to write, and I can just sit here and do it and think of shit, and if other guys want to throw some shit in, fine. So, it's all good.
Great.
Yeah, it's funny because I was down in Horror Realm, and again, another, you know, good show. They had Kane Hodder there, R.A. McKellough, Kyra Sean, of course, because she lives around there, and she's always good to hang out with. And you know, George the Animal Steel was there.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, it was great. I don't, you know, I go way back with George because him and Bruno Sammartino were my first wrestling match. It's so fucked up because. I don't know if you guys used to get roller derby up there, right? Years ago?
Yeah, we had some roller derby up here.
Yeah. Well, down here, it folded up around the 70s, and then one night I was in this bar, and these guys are like invertebrate gamblers. They had harness racing from Yonkers on. And then right after that, at midnight, wrestling comes on. Well, here's like this fucking big hairy guy snarling how he's going to kill Bruno, and then Bruno comes out, and, you know, we got to go fucking see this. So that was actually my first Garden card. And... you know, I've seen him on and off ever since. And then when he did the Ed Wood thing, he showed up at Chiller, and we were hanging out in the bar before he got sick. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to... you know Ed Demko? He's that Wasteland all the time.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, he was going to do a panel with George, and I asked him if he wanted me to sit in because, you know, Ed's from the 80s, I'm from the 70s. So I talked to George earlier in the day, and I said, you know, whatever you want to talk about, it's cool. So... Ed had a run out before this thing, and, you know, we sat down, and then I did my thing with George. And unbelievably, he came out with a lot of shit I didn't know about the whole, you know, getting into the business, how he was a teacher, and then, you know, the whole, well, he was done with it, then they turned him face, and he went in full time. Like, he was like, I think he was 50 or something, or over 50.
Yeah.
And then getting sick and then being a road agent and, you know, getting the whole born again thing. And he was telling, you know, he shot from the fucking hip. You know, a lot of these guys, like, you know, cover shit up. I mean, he wasn't disrespecting the business. He was thankfully made a living there and thankful, you know, a bunch of stuff happened. But he told me something I didn't know when he goes about the whole thing with Owen Hart with the drop when he got killed.
Yeah.
And he said it was a complete accident. Owen got nervous and pushed the wrong button. He said the night before they did that, Vince McMahon himself tested it out from the rafters. So I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
So he wasn't bullshitting anybody, and he just an overall cool guy. And I think he's got a book coming out in June about his life and stuff. So yeah, it was just cool to hang out with him. There's a guy you would have tried to. He probably would go up there.
Yeah, we would. We want to go into getting some pro wrestling guys and stuff. We got to find our legs still too. Like I said, the show's still young for us. We're only going into number three for us, but we definitely, you know, want to explore more things like that. And the pro wrestlers are, you know, they're really passionate too. That's the best thing about it is that a lot of those guys really care, and they really, you know, more so even than actors. They've paid their dues. A lot in physical in blood and an injury, so they've definitely earned whatever they got coming to them. People appreciate that. So
yeah, he's a real good guest. I heard Terry Funk's real good to get along with.
Yeah,
I'd like to get him at Wasteland. Abdul, I don't know what's going on with him. Somebody said he's in real bad shape. He's in a fucking wheelchair now, but his hips
really?
Gave out. Yeah, look at the size of the guy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's going for fucking years, but somebody said his hips gave out.
Yeah, we saw. I saw a couple of years back. I did a thing with Iron Sheik, and he wasn't doing too good, but I think he's doing better now.
Yeah, I think he got wise to all this shit and doesn't do any of that stupid fucking shit that he was doing.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of really stupid shit, but I think he was living up here in Canada for a while. I think he's got some nephews up here, that so he was staying with them to try to, you know, take advantage of the health care and stuff, and get himself back on track. So
yeah, I smoked weed with him.
Yes.
Yeah, he was funny. He was in town or something, and like, you know, guys know I smoke, so they called me up and they go, hey, you know, we got the Sheik, you know, can you come down and help us out? I'm like, yeah, I know what you want. So went down and was like, hey, it was cool. I was hanging out with him for like an hour. That was before you saw that tape with him and New Jack and the Honky Tonk Man in the hotel room.
Yeah.
And they were that was the same day.
Oh, really?
I left like that was in the middle of the afternoon. I did that. I left around like 4 o'clock. So then these guys show up and all of a sudden they're just that was fucking insane.
But
I think he wised up after that. That people were just fucking getting him high because they know he'd do something fucking crazy, so he stopped.
Yeah, he was getting wound up, and
yeah,
it's not, you know, again, it's the whole thing where this, you know, the guy's got so much history with in the business, you know, real history, that you can't just turn him into a joke. I mean, not in real life. I mean, it's one thing you want to be a heel and you want to, you know, do something in front of the camera, but you're talking to him trying to be real, you know.
He was doing what tricked it off was that whole thing in the camera when he smacked his manager at the convention.
Yeah.
That's what triggered the whole thing off, because nobody told him that the Ultimate Warrior didn't want anything to do with anybody in the building. He just walked up, hey, how you doing? And he told him to fuck off. Then he turns around and he punches Sims in the face.
Yeah.
The last time I saw him, he looked good. I walked up, I said, how you doing? I shook his hand. I said to Sims, I go, he's not doing nothing anymore, right? And he goes, yeah, I don't even offer. I said, no, I'm just asking you, because, you know, I don't want to get a fucking problem. Because I know Sabu smokes. I've smoked with him, so...
Yeah, he just tried to come up to do a show here in London, and he got stopped at the border and turned away. So, who knows what he had on him or what he was.
I don't know. He hasn't been in good shape either.
No, yeah.
He's a good. I tell you, he's a good guy though. I never knew I would, you know, ever run into him because of all the crazy shit I heard and stuff. But he got real sick, and the Crowbar was doing a benefit, and I helped that, and I was like bullshitting with him for 2 hours. He was a nice guy and shit. He remembered me too, so. But I'm not in Jersey anymore, so I don't see any of these guys. I don't think they come through here at all. So, or if they do, I never hear of it. So, shit.
Yeah, it's probably just a drive-by.
Yeah, well, you know, Jersey in that area was so hot for a while, like for 10 years almost. And then, you know, everything just fell apart, and I moved up here. So I don't have the connections anymore. Mm-hmm. They fucking all knew me. I never used to pay. I just walk in and hang out. So I have him on the radio show and shit and all kinds of other good stuff, but George was cool. And you probably heard the bad news for this week, right, about Harry Reams?
Yes, I did. Fucking man, we're all up here up in arms. We fucking love it. I was actually watching that, what was that, Hot Dog Cops, that bad comedy he did in the 80s. That way, I think that was done up in Canada somewhere too. I was watching that.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, the guy could actually act. He sort of fucked himself being in Deep Throat, but, you know, he was doing that. He was in Milligan's Flesh Pot on 42nd Street as Bob Long, straight role. And then, of course, Doris Wishman's Let Me Die a Woman, where he gave that little creepy over the shoulder look, which he did in Forced Entry, which is another one, which. Basically, he was too good in Forced Entry, and he didn't get any work for a couple of years after that.
Yeah, no, Forced Entry was a fucking tour de force.
Yeah, but Deep Throat was the one that, you know, got him the money, but also sort of fucked him for going mainstream. Because he said he had a couple opportunities to go mainstream, and then he was born again, but he didn't flaunt it or, like, push it down anybody's throat. He just pretty much... I guess he was selling... He was in... Where was he? He was in Utah selling real estate or something.
Yeah, a real estate agent or something. That's what I was reading about.
Yeah. Well, Shane, too. He was only 65, they said.
Mm-hmm.
5 years older than me. Fuck. But he was a New York boy, too. I think his real name was Herb Streicher. So...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's you know, so many guys, you know, like, you know, we lost Jamie, you know, then Fred Lincoln about, what, a month ago?
Yep.
So, yeah, so many of the older guys are going. It sucks. Women seem to hold on, though.
Yeah.
Strangely enough. Somebody just emailed me. Hey, I think Vanessa's making a movie about Vanessa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
There's only one person that could play her, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, I think she could do a good job.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if this is one of her ideas. That, you know, somebody might be doing a Kickstart fund or something to get this thing going. If that's true, it ain't a Hollywood production. So, I think I would have held out for a Hollywood production because I've been around her long enough, you know, and to know that, you know, how nuts she is, and she's fucking great.
Yeah,
but I don't know how this is going to translate on a big screen.
It won't. Well, I mean, I don't know if you can really call it the big screen if it's being funded by, you know, doggy treats and fucking T-shirt sales and all that Kickstarter shit. Because I haven't seen that equal one, you know, big screen movie yet. So that's beggars on a website. That's what that is to me.
Yeah.
I don't like that crowdfunding stuff. It just don't make no sense. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be you could find financial backing without having to, you know.
I think I went off on that whole fucking thing. I think Gary and Ted and a couple other guys emailed me and says, thank you for doing that. I says, you know, the thing was, you used to go out, you'd shoot some footage, bring it to potential backers, and try to get backing for it. That's the way it fucking worked. Not, oh, I'm a filmmaker. Gee, if you contribute $100, you're guaranteed to get associate producer's credit and a T-shirt at the end of filming.
I don't want to invest in a movie for a T-shirt and a DVD. I want a fucking financial return. That's why it's called the fucking movie business.
Yeah, no, they don't get it. This is all self-gratifying douchebags that just think because they got a camcorder for Christmas, they're filmmakers now. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, that sucks.
I honestly got to the point where I really don't want to watch anybody's movie anymore. It just, you know, because I'm sitting there. And I had Jack Ketchum on last week in this movie called Doghouse. And I said, you ever hear of that one, Jack? And he goes, no, what is it? I go, it's an unauthorized adaptation of one of your early books. He goes, really? And he goes, yeah, son of a bitch. I said, yeah, I'll send you one. They try to be Shaun of the Dead and they fail. They ripped off the idea. It's like this toxic waste spill only affects women and they turn on men. And that's one of Jack's books.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies' Night. So...
Yeah, it's pretty fucking dumb, man. I don't know. It's rough because it's like people are losing touch with you know, with the business in general, and just it's, you know, they say it's evolving, they say it's changing, but I mean, who really wants this change? Who really wants every fucking asshole with a camcorder to proclaim himself as famous, you know, and everybody with a website to fucking say he's a talent agent? And it's just, you know, it's too far. It's too spread out too much, man. It's too thin.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably one of the few guys that don't take myself seriously.
Yeah, well, exactly. You got to take yourself. You know, you got to be a little lighthearted on this whole issue because, I mean, otherwise, I'd be crying myself to sleep every night.
Oh, you don't get me wrong. I go off, and people say, well, why do you go off? I go, one, people find it entertaining, and two, to vent. I said, what am I going to do, have a blow out a fucking blood vessel in my fucking skull because these people drive me crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the sad part is we're not going to win. There's more of them. It's like the mind. It's almost like The Walking Dead. They're mindless. Mm-hmm. They just go with whatever the flavor of the month is. You know, when Walking Dead's along with the flavor of the month, they may no longer be horror fans, you know?
No, fuck, they'll be fans of... you know, sparkly fucking vampires or, you know, whatever.
There's nothing left. What else are they going to fucking ass rape to death, you know? Bring back fucking blobs and creatures and shit that rip people's heads. Oh, they had that already. That's good. Yeah. We've gone full circle. I don't know what to think. Well, we're almost out of time, I see, Todd, right? Or we're going crazy here.
Yes, sir.
Give us the pitch for Shock and Stock, my friend.
Well, I was going to say... Shock Stock, if you got a passport, it's fucking worth the fucking 80-minute drive. Get up here and enjoy the fucking craziest weekend us Canadians have to offer. You know, 3 days packed full of crazy shit, tons and tons of, you know, vendors, great people, and just a great time. And if you can't make it, come see us at Wasteland. We're going to be selling copies of Call It Crack My Cock, and we got another Blu-ray and DVD of... of a Goblin concert from Shock Stock, so you can bring a little bit home with you and watch it, and, you know, come say hello and fucking have a drink with us, and let's party, man.
You got a website?
Yeah, you can go to www.scumbags.ca or shockstock.com. They both are the same, but if you want to go right to us, you know, you want to remember us, we're the Scumbags. That's who we are.
What's the dates on that?
April 12th to 14th. It's the weekend after Wasteland.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it, and hope you had some fun, and I had some fun too. And you know, I'll catch up with you. What, 2 weeks? I guess, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks, man.
Yeah, definitely. All right, bro.
I'll see you then.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Ciao.
Thank you. And until next week. Next week will be our dreaded, stumbling drunkenly down the road to Wasteland live show next Saturday night with CinemaWasteland.com Ken and God don't know who else. So until then, stay sick and we'll see you then.
Dominate your dreams. They're all yours right here in the Grindhouse.
So grab yourself.